is full of God's life. And so we're going to move in the that kind of attitude toward His Word this morning. If you have your Bibles, please open them to Psalm 68 in verse 1. And I just want to read that that takeoff scripture today, amen, that we're going to use to go forward and talk about some wonderful, wonderful truths in God. I've often said this before we read the scripture, that your problems really do not rest in what or who circumstantially or personally is coming against you. The real issue of your victory is not the world, the flesh, and the devil per se. The real issue is God for you? Can you say amen? That is the supreme issue of your life. Amen. If God arises in your behalf, your enemies are going to be scattered, plain and simple. Can you say amen? They will come out against you one way. They will flee before you seven ways. Amen. Submit yourself unto God so that He can stand in your behalf. What happens? Amen. And Satan will what? Will overcome you, badger you, wear you down, defeat you, depress you, discourage you. Can you say amen? No. He will flee. Everybody say flee.
Flee.
You know, we need to get a good look. Everyone in this room that's a Christian needs to get a good look at the backside of Satan.
Amen.
Amen. Everybody in here talks about how the devil comes against them, and no doubt he does. But if God be for you, amen, who can be against you? That is the supreme question of our life, is not who is against us or how mighty the forces that are arrayed or how many, but who is for us? Can you say amen? What more shall we say to these things, Paul taught? If God be for us, say it with me. Who can be against us? See, God puts forth that challenge in His Word, and God Himself stands up. When God's people get right with Him, it doesn't matter anymore. Enemies become a non-issue as far as God is concerned. If the battle is the Lord's, then and He's going to stand up in our behalf.
Amen.
Problem is, a lot of Christians are not submitted to God, but they're trying to put on spiritual armor and fight and win spiritual battles. Spiritual armament doesn't work. There's one piece of it that you can't even put on unless you're right with God. It's the breastplate. It involves your heart.
Amen.
It covers the most vulnerable part of you. What did the Bible say about your heart anyway? Keep thine heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. The breastplate is to cover the most vulnerable spot in the human body, amen, physically, and that's the heart. And a spiritual breastplate is to cover the most spiritually vital and vulnerable part of you. And that's the heart. Can you say amen? So keep your heart. How do you keep your heart? Put on the breastplate of what? Do you know what righteousness means? It means right, wise with God.
Amen.
When a man's ways please the Lord, he's even able to make his enemies be at peace with him. Can you say amen? Why do they suddenly see the virtue of this godly person and decide to say, I'm not going to do anything against them. They're so sweet and God's favor. So no, amen. They realize that God is for them. God is with them. And to go up against them would be first have to get through God. And they say, maybe we'd better come to terms with them. We certainly cannot fight them and prevail. Well, you didn't hear that. Can you say amen? If you are pleasing the Lord, your enemies are going to have to come to terms with you because they can't overcome you. If God is for you, who? Everybody say who?
Who?
See, it's a moot issue. It doesn't matter anymore. What matters is can you honestly claim that God is for you? You can't do it with bitterness in your heart. You can't do it with unforgiveness. Can you say amen? You can't do it with a compromised life. You can't do it with unconfessed sin. I'm not talking about legalism. I'm talking about being right with God. You have a position. You are His child. You are a covenant person. But covenant people can get out of sync with God. We need repentance among the covenant people. Don't just be claiming a covenant while living in compromise. We need to be right with God. Amen. Being right with God means God is going to stand up. The battle is not yours anymore. The battle becomes the Lord's. Can you say amen? How many would rather God fight the battle than you try to go out and win the battle?
Amen.
I mean, I don't care how anointed you are. The battle is still the Lord's. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. So let's pursue this a little bit. I hear a lot of preaching about faith and victory and armor and authority, but I hear little preaching about really surrendering to God, submitting to God, amen, repenting before the Lord, getting right with God. And yet that's the key to all victory. Israel can't claim covenants, even though they have a covenant. When they're worshiping false gods, when they're into idolatry. Let me tell you something about idolatry. You don't need a pot-bellied Buddha sitting in your home. I hope you don't have one, amen, because you want to decorate Oriental. Use bamboo. Use teak wood. Forget the pot-bellied Buddha. That's a god that is worshipped. That is not a whatnot. Can you say amen? It's a representation of a god that is deified by men. It's not a deity. It's a god who is no god, but is worshipped as god in many cultures. So if you've got a pot-bellied Buddha, get rid of it. And I don't mean give it away. Amen. I mean get rid of the thing. Amen? What Christian would want a representation of a false god in their home? I mean, I pass by it in the store and I look at it and say, amen? Why? Because it's a lie. It's a lie from the heart of the devil. Amen? So you get rid of that kind of stuff. Idolatry, though, is not just about false gods and idols that people bow down to. Amen? The New Testament brings it closer. It says, flee from covetousness, which is idolatry. Amen? God said, in my sight, it's not just that thing, that image, but very covetousness. In other words, you have made yourself another god. Amen. What is covetousness anyway? Amen. It is discontent. Jealousy is discontent because of the achievements or the material blessings of another, or the looks of another, the fame of another, the fortune of another. But covetousness is wanting that for yourself. There's a message out there today that is just laced with covetousness. Amen. Because we as Christians think that if we have and we possess what the world says is top shelf in priority, we can be happy and fulfilled. We suppose that gain equates to godliness. And the Bible said from such, turn away. The problem is the Christian church is not turning away. By and large, we're embracing, particularly the charismatic element of the church. We're embracing that message and those messengers. That the Bible said, if they tell you to go after the stuff, to envy what the world has, you know what my Bible said about sinners, no matter how they prosper? My son, let not thine heart envy sinners, neither go after them. That's not just committing their sins, but following their values. Can you say amen? Why would you envy a sinner? Because he's got something that you think you need to be fulfilled. Can you say amen? No, he doesn't. Pity the man that owns this whole world but doesn't own the pearl of great price. Can you say amen? I'm telling you, I'm in a room this morning with rich people. Has nothing to do with your bank account. Has nothing to do with the car you drive, the watch you wear, the clothes you have on. I am in a room with rich people this morning. Not to be compared with Bill Gates, who has $58 billion but doesn't own a piece of land in heaven. Can you say amen? He could buy land anywhere on this earth, but he can't buy one drop of the blood of Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? And here we are, praise God, with a home in heaven washed in the precious blood of the Lamb. Praise God. The world doesn't have what you need. The world doesn't have anything to fulfill you. Amen. Christ has that, and He gives it to you freely. So why should we covet? Now we have needs. I need a home to live in. I don't need to be in a cardboard box out there by the road. Amen. I need clothes on my body. I need my body to be clothed. Amen. Believe me, I do. I never understood. Well, I understood when I was maybe younger and, you know, all this kind of craziness. But I never understood why people wanted to go to a nudist colony and see all these people walking around just, you know, just everybody say, ew. I mean, there's some things you just don't want to see. Can you? I'm not talking about, you know, I'm just talking about the very fact that everybody don't look like they stepped out of a modeling magazine and a weightlifter magazine. I mean, you know, it's Why would anybody want to do that? Amen? But they do. But God has given us clothing. God has given us food. And he said, you know something? If you've got the essentials, if you've got the fundamentals, if you've got what you need to live down in this fallen world, and if you've got a place to live and you've got food to eat and you've got clothes on your body and you've got Jesus... And you've got Jesus. And you've got Jesus. And you've got Jesus. See, you don't fall into covetousness. You don't look at a greener grass somewhere because there is no greener grass than this. Can you say amen? And you have Christ as your Savior. Christ as your Lord. Christ as the bread that came down out of heaven. And you're participating in a fellowship relationship with Him. Amen. To where He is your bread and He is your drink and He is your peace and He is your joy and He is your fulfillment and you're drinking living water and you're not thirsty anymore. Then it guards you against covetousness because you don't look enviously at anyone else. You say, you know, I've got food and raiment and Jesus and eternal life. And peace that passes understanding and joy unspeakable that's filled with God's glory. I don't bend the rules. I don't compromise the faith to go after the values of those who don't know Him. Amen. Hallelujah. I got up this morning rich. How did you get up today? What was your sense that, oh, I'm so poor and needy. You got food. You got raiment. You got Jesus. You ever seen that little sign? Got milk? I love the spirit. I love the Christian thing. Amen. You see on some bumpers, there's got Jesus. Can you say amen? Got Jesus? What an ad campaign. Have you got Jesus as the Lord of your life? Does He live large in your heart? Is He what He claimed to be? Amen. Meat indeed and drink indeed. Can He fulfill the deepest longings of your soul? Is His peace priceless? Is His joy beyond description, of joy unspeakable? And is it full of glory? Is your relationship, do you understand that the very glory that shines in the presence of God, that you can enter into that presence, praise God, and you tell me that the sinner has something you need that you're willing to compromise your faith over? Can you say, man? Maybe you need a little less material and a little more spiritually. Maybe you don't need to work 6.5 days a week and give up your spiritual life and your spiritual values and priorities so you can have a little more stuff to do what with? Yeah. Who's it going to be when you leave this world? And why do we think we've got to have it at the expense of giving to God, the expense of living for God, the expense of seeking God? Too tired to seek, too busy to pray. But boy, we got what he has, and we got what she's got. And I look at Christians that are too busy and too involved for all of that. I look at their faces, and their face betrays their true state. Unhappy, unfulfilled. The joy unspeakable doesn't mark their life. I went down into Haiti, and I saw joy unspeakable on people that had so little we would have wept because of their condition. And yet, if they could see us without the joy that they had, they would weep for our condition. Because they would say, how can you live in a house like that, drive a car like that, wear clothes like that, and colognes like this? Can you say, man, and not, and have Jesus, amen, as your Lord and your Savior, and be so downtrodden, beaten down, discouraged, amen? How can you not be dancing and shouting? You got all these material, physical blessings, and you got Jesus. We don't have the material blessings. We don't have the physical blessings, but we got the peace that passes understanding, and we got the joy unspeakable that's filled with the glory of God. And we got grateful hearts for whatever else He gives us. Hallelujah. But in America, in a materialistic society that puts such stock, amen, MTV is raising kids today because moms and dads are working to give them designer jeans because we want them to have the best. Honey, the best is what the Waltons had around that table. Oh, you didn't hear me. That's the best. There's nothing more important to a child growing up than a mom and a dad that are able to spend time with them. Yes. Love them and nurture them. Amen? But in our busyness, we don't have the time. So somebody else actually raises our children. Most of the time, it's the media All the time they're alone, they go, they look for their heroes. Their values are established through the media and the secular media. Amen. MTV, the Hannah Montanas, the, and I hope she stays a sweet Disney type figure, but Britney didn't and others didn't. Amen. After a while, the fame and the riches begin to corrupt. Can you watch corruption out of this innocent, wonderful, star, to the 12-year-old set, and suddenly they don't want to be to the 12-year-old set? You watch their image begin to change from one of pure and sweet to sensual, sexual, hard-drinking, hard-drugging. The world promises something it cannot deliver. Amen. Can you say amen? And yet Christians think that world value system has something that we need to be fulfilled. It does not have something that you need to be fulfilled. Amen? Only Christ can fulfill the deepest longings. That's why if God is for you, if you have a right standing with God, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It is not something that you, that for self-indulgence, just for your flesh. This goes so far beyond your flesh. Can you say amen? Having food and raiment in Christ, therewith be what? Amen. Content. For godliness with contentment is the true riches, it's great gain. Can you say amen? If you're not content having Jesus and food and raiment today, you're poor. That's why the church with all the stuff that didn't have the joy unspeakable, the unsurpassing peace, the right standing with God. He said, you say I'm rich, increased with goods and have need of nothing, but I say you're poor, miserable, blind and naked. Isn't that incredible? There's some messages out there to make you the spitting image of Laodicea. And Jesus said, this is a church that I will spit out. I will flat out reject, but I love you. And as many as I love, I pamper, coddle, compromise. No, I rebuke and I chasten. And one thing that's missing today is a message of rebuke. We just don't want our sin rebuked. And so we play it down. People are in church with covetousness in their hearts. And the Bible said you're an idolater. Plain and simple. Covetousness, which is what? Idolatry. Say it. Say the word. Idolatry. The day I look over to neighbor that just got a brand new SUV and begin to covet what he has and to compromise my faith to go after it. That is my God. How do you know? Because it's more important than the God that I'm supposed to be bowing to. I think it's worth compromising my faith in him to get that, to go after that. They that would be rich, that's the goal of your life. It's not wrong to be rich. You can have riches as long as riches don't have you. He brought them out with gold and silver out of Egypt. He didn't want them to be dependent on any other nation. He didn't want them to be indebted to another nation because it could bring a snare to them. Can you say amen? He brought them out, the Bible said in Psalm 105, with gold and silver. Why? Because he didn't want them to be indebted to any other nation. Remember the story of the axe head? Why was that so important? That axe head be given back because it was a borrowed axe head. And if you borrowed something and you couldn't pay it back, you had to become a bond slave to the person you borrowed from. In other words, you might have to work a year or 2 years, amen, for that person to pay back the debt. That's why the widow, amen, needed some oil, amen, so she and her son wouldn't be bond slaves to pay debts after the husband died. Can you say, man? God didn't want Israel to be a bond slave to anybody. Can you say, man? That's why God blesses you, to keep you from the entrapment, amen, that some of these things can bring. Remember when, let me tell you the story of the axe head. Remember, the axe head is a wonderful story. God worked a supernatural miracle to get an axe head back on its handle. Can you say, man? He had a purpose in that. And it wasn't the convenience of the person who borrowed, amen, the axe. The plain fact of the matter is, in the chronological order, the setting of this particular Bible truth and story in the Old Testament, the only people who had the technology and had the iron ore, there was a time when there was a battle that was going to be fought in Israel, and only the king had a sword and a spear made of iron. All the rest of Israel had wooden implements of war because they didn't have the technology nor the ore. The Bible said only the king of Israel had a weapon with iron in it. His sword and his spear had iron, but everybody else had wood implements. Isn't that incredible? No one had that kind. And in that day, amen, the Philistines had it. They're the ones that had the iron. They had the technology. They had the molds. This axe head was borrowed from a Philistine. Amen. And God didn't want an Israelite, person of the covenant, having to serve a Philistine. Amen. Because of an axe head that was lost and he had to work it out because he couldn't replace it. Can you say, do you understand the significance of this? I don't want you, amen, entangling yourself, becoming absolutely subservient to the pagan and to the idolater and to the ungodly. I want you to be kept separate from them. I don't want you indebted to them in any way, shape, form, or fashion. Be ye not unequally yoked together. Can you say amen, the believer and the unbeliever? In other words, don't get into any kind of covenants that brings you under subserviency to a world system that's anti-Christ and anti-God. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Somebody give him praise. God does want to bless you, but he wants to bless you so he can keep you from the world, not make you like it. Alas, Lord, for it was when it flew off the end of that handle and into that deep place in the water, the cry in the King James was, alas, Lord, for it was borrowed. And I can't replace it, so I'm going to have to go and be a bond slave to who I borrowed it from. And the Philistines had the technology. It had to come from a Philistine. You know why God wants to bless us today? He wants us to get so unentangled that we can put the kingdom first, that we can keep the kingdom first, that we can give what God is God's while rendering to Caesar what's his without taking from God to do it. Can you say amen? God wants to bless his church not so we can be like the world, but so that we can maintain our separate identity from it. Somebody give God praise in this place. Hallelujah. Do you hear what I'm saying today? I want enough that I don't have to work every Sunday and stay out of church and not. Do you understand what I'm telling you? I want to make enough that I do not have to accept that overtime if it's going to encroach my prayer time, if it's going to encroach on my service to Jehovah. Because I need his blessing more than I need the stuff that the extra money can acquire. I need his peace. I need his joy. For the joy of the Lord is my strength. Can you say amen? And the peace of God is without price. Can't be bought on the world market for any amount of money. If you don't have that, you're poor, miserable, blind, and naked. Even though you're wearing Armani, you're naked. You're not clothed with... You know what Job said about righteousness? He said, I put on righteousness. Whew. And it clothed me. Can you say, man? I put on righteousness and what happened? It clothed me. Amen. Jesus spoke about the robe of righteousness so that the shame of our nakedness would not appear. Can you say amen? So that we could stand before God, not unclothed, but clothed upon. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's called in the New Testament the wedding garment, and you can't come to the wedding without it. Can you say amen? A man tried that, and he said, friend, how comest thou here without a wedding garment? How can you dishonor the bride and groom and the host by showing up without a wedding garment? I would advise you not to go to a formal wedding in your Bermudas and your sandals and your straw hat and your short shorts. Hello? You're going to stand out like a sore thumb. Why? Because this is a formal occasion. It deserves honor. Amen? I mean, there's some restaurants in this city that unless you have a coat and tie, you can't get in. Isn't that amazing? That they have the right to tell you that? Some of them even have a tie sitting behind the counter. so they can hand it to you. So that you can get in, because they really want your money. But they have a standard. This is formal dining. This is not Mickey D's. Can you say amen? Can you say amen? You say, well, I ain't going there. That's all right. There's plenty of people in line. They've got big, thick steaks. Amen? Good service. It's going to cost you. I've never been, personally. But I know they're in town. Amen. I heard a guy the other day talking about for his anniversary taking his wife to one of these fancy schmancy places. As a matter of fact, somebody gave us a check and told us on our one of our anniversaries back at the Old Holy Church. I think it was our 20th anniversary. That was 20. It was our 20th anniversary. That was almost 25 years ago. Yeah. This is 45. So that was our 20th. 25 years ago was our 20th anniversary. Almost 25 years ago was our 20th anniversary. Boy, that sounds... 25 years ago, we celebrated our 20th anniversary. Woo, that sounds... it's hard for me to consider that. But on our 20th anniversary, a young man at church that obviously made pretty good money wrote us a check and said, this is so you can go to this restaurant. He had taken some of his main squeezes there. Amen. And this restaurant, and he said, when you reserve a table in this restaurant, the food is great, but the atmosphere is even better. Once you reserve a table in this restaurant, no one eats off of that table that night but you. There's no one waiting. This is not fast food. This is not running through like cattle. This is your table reserved for that evening, and no one sits at it but you. No one else is going to come before you or behind you after this restaurant opens. That table is yours. Of course, it costs for all of that, because a lot of people could be rushed through and ka-ching, 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 ka-ching. Can you say amen? But this is your table for the night. Amen. Somewhere off of Columbus Drive, I don't know where it was, but there was a restaurant. He gave us the address, and here's the money. I've been there. This will buy you the three-course meal. This table will be yours, he said. He said, and they will come to your table, and they will serve you. A waiter will be assigned to you. And you alone. And that waiter will come and he will serve only you. And you can stay as long as you want until closing time if you want, and just sit there and look goo-goo at one another. He didn't say that, but I read between the lines. Oh, Pamela, look into your eyes. Your eyes are like pools. Amen. Your hair is like silk and all these different things. Amen. We could sit there all night in that romantic atmosphere. Amen. But it was not casual. That is formal stuff. You have to dress for the occasion. Amen. In 1978, I believe it was, or somewhere in the late 70s, I was in Washington, D.C., and represented Florida. They had a minister, and they did it by computer, random by computer. Picked a minister from every state in the union, including Hawaii and everywhere. And I ended up at the Capitol Hilton Hotel representing the state of Florida from the Holy Church of God. Boy, if that computer only knew. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. You would have picked someone far more honorable. But it was random, so they could be fair. One minister from every state was invited. And I remember going to the Capitol Hilton Hotel where the president speaks and makes these announcements and everything. And at the Capitol Hilton, the carpet in the dining room was presidential seals. The whole carpet at that time had presidential seals on it, because all of these people from Washington came there for these banquets and everything. First time I ever ate soup and with a different spoon than I stirred my tea with. Can you say amen? I had so many implements by my plate, I had to sit there and watch other people and say, which one is she going to grab? Which one is he going to grab? Can you say amen? When they started, I'd grab mine. Hallelujah. Amen. I only needed two. But anyway, they gave me about six, and some were for dessert, and some I didn't drink out of the finger bowl. You'd be proud of your pastor. I can give myself credit. I knew what that was for. Some of you don't know, and you'd have been, this soup sure is thin, isn't it? Hallelujah. But this was formal. I knew I was going to a place of dignity. I knew I was going to a place that was different. Can you say amen? Listen, church. Listen, all of this stuff, all of these trappings of the world. God said, if you don't have me, it doesn't matter what you can buy. It doesn't matter what kind of status you can achieve. It doesn't matter about the fame. It doesn't matter about the fortune. What really matters is, has my kingdom come inside of you? Does my King Jesus live within your heart? Are you daily drawing from Him? Him, amen, everything that you need to fulfill you in life. So that when I give you Christ and He gives you Himself and you have food and raiment, that you could be content with that and be the person that God has called you be, a person that is not covetous, that has found contentment in Jesus, that God can sit in contrast to a lost and dying and empty world and say, look what my kingdom is all about. You can't touch her joy. You can't shake His peace. Can you say amen? They're singing my high praises regardless of the circumstances of their life. And yet we've got a message out there that all the forces of the Gentiles are going to be given us. And last year they said that was the year for it. And they said it the year before that. And they said it the year before that. I've got the quotes. How many things have to fail before a false prophet can be labeled on someone? How many of these things have to fall short before we figure it out? The blindness that comes from following the blind is a deep blindness. You can stand outside of that movement and see it clearly, but people that are in it can't see it at all. Isn't that incredible? You can stand outside of Samson's spiritual decline and want to slap him, shake him, and say, this is dumb and dumber all wrapped up in one man. Can you say, man? How can anybody be so dumb as to tell people a lie, which he said because he's afraid of losing his strength, and tell Delilah the lie, and wake up with what he told is a lie happening to him, and she's the only one that he lied to, and not figure out that the woman is trying to destroy him and deceive him. But he's the blind man, and you're the man beside looking at the story. The blind man involved in the sin that's been blinded by his lust, blinded by his pride and his own power, his own arrogance of the anointing always coming. The man that's involved in that blindness, he can't see. He was blind before they plucked his physical eyes out. He went blind spiritually. And if the blind lead the blind, what happens? Everybody that would have followed Samson because of his compromise would have ended up in his end state. If the blind lead the blind, what happens? Everybody falls into the ditch. Amen. But the Bible said we have an unction. We have an unction. Say it with me. Unction. Unction, unction. Say it again. We have an unction. 1 John says, we have an unction. We have an unction so we don't get spiritually blindsided. We have an unction from the Holy One. Come on, an unction. Christians have been satisfied with a blessing, with a touch from God. We need this unction. The word unction in the Greek is special anointing. A particular, peculiar, specific anointing. Everybody say particular. Peculiar. Specific anointing. What is this unction from the Holy One? The Bible said we have an unction from the Holy One to know all things. This is nothing less than the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of truth. Can you say amen? Everybody say the Spirit of truth. More than the shout, more than the holy laughter, more than tongues or gifts are falling out. We need the Holy Spirit manifest as the Spirit of truth. Because when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. And if you continue in my word, you will know the truth. And the truth will set you free. Can you say amen? Somebody give Him praise in this room. Oh, don't patty cake Jesus. Give Him the praise. Hallelujah. This is a day of deep deception. We need God with us nationally. We need God for us personally. We don't just need the stuff the world has. We need God for us. If you're diagnosed with incurable, inoperable cancer, you need God. A big bank account can't resolve that issue. But God can. God can. God can. There used to be ministries take place in canvas tents. But God stood up and His enemies were scattered. Now we got ministries conducted in buildings that rival the Taj Mahal. But you'd be hard-pressed to find God standing up. You'll find a worship team that is pitch perfect and an orchestra that never hits a sour note. Amen. But you'd be hard-pressed to see a devil cast out and some poor tormented soul set free. You'd be hard-pressed to see an altar service where saints feel convicted and come before God and want to be right with Him more than they want anything in this world. Can you say amen? You'd be hard-pressed to hear a message that gets specific about sin so that we can have God stand up in our behalf. Or the fear of the Lord so that we can reverence God enough that He would manifest Himself. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And we need that back. I grew up in it. Amen. I was in those meetings. I was in Oral Roberts' tent. Amen. When the lame walked and the blind saw and the deaf heard. Amen. We were in a meeting one time when a woman had a disease that was hardening her. And I forget, it was some exotic disease and they had flown her in from somewhere else. And I remember Brother Roberts taking a microphone up to her. My dad can remember this with me. We were talking about it recently. Amen. There were policemen there for crowd control and traffic control. And they stood up with Brother Roberts and he walked forward. This was back in the day. Everybody say back in the day. Amen. Let God arise. Let God arise. I'm preaching let God arise this morning. I'm not talking about what man can do with money, but what God can do only through the anointing of the Holy Ghost. I'm not talking about the riches that are going to fade away, but the true riches that are eternal. Can you say amen? That begin in this world and carry on forever. Can you say amen? Brother Roberts walked up. He took his microphone and tapped on her. And it was like tapping on a ceramic, tapping on a wall. And I don't mean wallboarding, but some kind of a plastered wall. Amen. She couldn't move except like a robot because everything was hardened. Everything was hardening. Amen. And he said, God is going to heal this woman tonight from the crown of her head to the soles of her feet. Amen. And I mean that tent, we came in there expecting God to move. We didn't care about all the aesthetics. We didn't care about the steeple's height. We didn't care about the stained glass or not stained glass. What we cared about was let us get somewhere where the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is our God. Can you say amen? Let us get somewhere where the Jesus that walked the shores of Galilee could do today what He did then. Didn't the Bible say that He was the same yesterday, today, and He will be forever? That's why they took me into a church where Jesus was the same, where God was manifesting Himself, where you didn't just pray and then die. You prayed and lived. You prayed and were delivered. You prayed and were set free. That's why I was healed of leukemia at 8, going on 9. And now I'm 61 and I never had bone marrow nor chemotherapy because we had no insurance. We had no hope except God. But oh, how we need to get back to the God that did these mighty things and still does them. But we got to get our values straightened out. Let God arise. Let God arise. We've seen the rise of great personalities and great churches and great preachers. Honey, that's not enough to get these things done. Can you say amen? We've seen the arise of a mega churches, but we haven't seen the miracles that took place under the tents when God stood up. Can you say amen? We've seen the rise of great preaching personalities like never before. There are names that people know immediately and recognize as spiritually significant. Significant names in our society because hundreds of thousands of people follow their ministries, but we're yet to see God arise like this. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Let God arise. I'm telling you, down in South America, there are miracles taking place that will make the hair stand up on your arms to hear about because in that humble setting where Jesus is honored, there's no ulterior motive. The kingdom is before anything else. Amen. God is arising. Hallelujah. In China, miracles are taking place to confirm the word of God because God is arising and His enemies shall be scattered. What are His enemies? Amen. Everything that hurts the object of His love. The Bible said God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Let God arise and His enemies will be scattered. Let God arise and people will be healed again. Brother Roberts tapped on it and it sounded like ceramic. He He said, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, heal this woman from the crown of her head to the soles of her feet. He took that same microphone after prayer. The rigidness is gone. She began to take those hands and do like that. I'll never forget the motion like that. Something she hadn't done for years and now was able to do. Hallelujah. And I'm telling you, I was glad to be a young man sitting under a canvas tent where God was God, not just a historical figure. Amen. Can you say, man? Ah, and He got my undivided attention and my undivided heart. Hallelujah. I said, God is God, and there's nothing too hard for Him. All we really need is Him. Can you say, man, look what the Lord hath done. Look what the Lord hath wrought. Can you say, man, who has a God like our God? And being a Christian was a pleasure and a privilege. We have a God like this. Today we've got churches that are greater than any band's ever envisioned or seen. Bigger than anything we could even think of back then. Preachers that are in notoriety, amen, because of the media that go to hundreds of thousands of people, their words. But we're hard-pressed to see that can be qualified as notable miracles. That's the ones that can follow up on 60 Minutes and get it verified. That's the people they can interview 4 weeks later and say, I am healed. Can you say, man? I'm not talking about what's written in the magazine or what people say out of emotion the moment after prayer. I'm talking what's verifiable medically. God, amen, our God can be scrutinized. When He does something, it'll show up in the microscope. It'll show up on the x-ray. It'll show up in the life. He's a God of truth. Not about crowd control, people swooning, because I've seen people swoon because they were so built up in excitement at weddings. I've saw grooms fall to the floor. Groomsmen fall to the floor. Yeah. Well, stress. Because I tell them when I marry them, there's no going back. No going back. Forget it. If you ain't ready, I had one guy back out. We had marriage counseling. He backed completely out. Amen. Called me up and said, I can't do it under those circumstances. I said, well, if you're a Christian, you needn't do it under any other circumstances. Saw a thing in New Yorker magazine. I'm teaching on fidelity. It's one of the things necessary to be ready for the coming of Jesus on the radio broadcast. Amen. Will I find faith when I come back to the earth? He's talking about fidelity, faithfulness to Christ, faithfulness to the faith. Can you say amen? Amen. In New Yorker magazine, a guy was standing there and he was getting ready to be married, and his groomsman was whispering in his ear and said, and it really talks about our society. He said, Fred, do you really know what you're doing? Do you understand that you're making a 4 or 5 year commitment? It's painfully funny. But did you know something? The divorce rate in the Church of Jesus Christ has risen. We used to be able to showcase a Christian marriage to the world. We used to be able to show them the difference that serving God made. That God could stand up and, hey, God will arise for the sake of your marriage. He will defend it. Sholabaka, I tell people that think they can't work it out, you don't have to work it all out. But you have to acknowledge there's a God who's going to stand up in your behalf. You have to acknowledge God wants it to work. If you don't acknowledge that, we're just like the world out there, without God and without hope in certain situations. But we're not without God and we're not without hope. There are no hopeless cases with God. Say, there are no hopeless cases with God. Just let God arise. What makes Him stand? You know what that word arise means in the Hebrew? It means to stand up in behalf of another. To stand up, amen, in someone else's behalf. It's when God says, Israel, when you get right with me and enemies come against you, I'm going to stand up in your behalf. Can you say amen? What happens when God stands up? The fury of the oppressor is defeated. I'm going to read this to you in closing this morning. And this is one of those passages from God's people returning from the judgments that have come. The reason enemies prevail is because we're wrong with God, not because they have authority and they have power over us. It's because we lose that place with God. Amen? Amen? This is not a win a few, lose a few kingdom that you're in. This is a win them all kingdom. Come on, this win a few, lose a few, as the normal Christian life is completely unbiblical. Amen? You mean Jesus saying you can't conquer the devil that's against you? Is that what we're going to say? Is that the excuse we're going to make for our loss? No, we got to get closer to home in that. We can't blame it on Jesus. We got to accept responsibility for defeats. And that lies at my door, your door. I'm not trying to put a trip on, I'm trying to get you in victory. I'm responsible for whether I'm going to be defeated by the circumstances of life or I'm going to rise up with wings as an eagle. My choice. God has already chosen to bless us, help us. But we got to look to Him exclusively for that. And we got to get away. We got to flee idolatry. And we got to watch covetousness, because God said it's more than an image you put in your home. It's an attitude that you foster in your heart. Hello? What are you giving up at the expense of the kingdom? And wondering where your peace went, where the joy went, where the strength went, where the victory went. What compromises am I making to lose those things that are so vital to my victory and my fulfillment in life? Kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It's not something for self-indulgence. It's beyond that. See, the kingdom is so rich in meaning. The Bible said no man left house, land, sister, brother, mother, father, for my sake, that shall not receive a hundredfold, house, land, sisters, brothers, mothers, fathers. Well, we take the house, land part. We build a doctrine on God owes you 100 for every dollar you give. Well, how do you get 100 wives? Is he promoting polygamy? You're going to get 100 times the wives? Are you going to get 100 times sisters? Where do you get those sisters from? I know where you get those sisters from. I got them right here. He's not talking about the actual numerical. And we made a whole doctrine out of this. And you know how much God owes me right now just because of my tithe alone? Several million dollars. I did the math. He owes me several million in this life. I have got to become filthy rich soon. You ever do the math? I used to have my we got a wonderful guy that does our taxes now. He's sweet, and we pay 100% tax. There's no tax break for the ministers. Tax break on this building, which we don't own, the church owns. There's no tax break for me, and never has been, never will be. Die and pay taxes. That's somewhere in the Bible, I think. It's appointed to man once to die and then to pay taxes or something like that. Amen. But it's an incredible thing. I went to the CPA, Certified Public Accountant, and he was doing my taxes, and he got into a particular movement years and years ago. And he said, I gave so much, and he told me how much he had given. I thought, well, that's very commendable. You're a very generous man. He said, well, let me ask you, does the Lord owe me on my net or my gross? That he was a mathematician, so he was everything. All this was about mathematics. It wasn't about the kingdom of God. It was about mathematics, simple mathematics. You give to get. How much am I going to get? Amen. He won't know if God, you know, how much should I expect? Should I expect the blessing on my net or my gross? And how does that work? And I said, well, I really don't think it's about net and gross and that so much. I said, this scripture is about the kingdom of God and what it offers you. Amen. 100-fold whatever money can buy, you'll find in Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. And peace that passes understanding is not on the marketplace. Joy unspeakable is not for sale, sir. Amen. And the kingdom offers you something the world can't give at any price. Now, I began to preach to him in that chair. He didn't like it a little bit because he had his calculator out. Can you say amen? He had that new Mercedes gleaming in his eye, trading in that Volvo. Can you say amen? Anyway, he He had it all figured out. And but it was just numerical. The whole, it wasn't about Jesus and fulfillment and spiritual things and a kingdom that doesn't come with observation. It was about what I can get here and now. Immediate gratification. What does God owe me? Don't owe you anything. You owe Him everything. Let's get that settled up front. What price the blood of Jesus Christ? What price the blood of Jesus Christ? What price? This is not, you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold after the tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Jesus, a lamb without spot and without blemish that took your place on the cross. Not about what God owes you. It's about what you owe God, and you owe Him everything. And in His grace, He's decided to bless you above and beyond that. Houses, land, sisters, brothers, mothers, fathers. You think you've given up something. God said, I'm going to fill that vacancy. I'm going to fill that vacuum with 100-fold what any of these things could give you in life. I'm going to give you myself. We pull Jesus out of the equation, get the kingdom view out, and it's a mathematical equation. It has nothing to do with anything but the material world. And there are people living in Africa, more well-adjusted, living in a mud hut with Jesus. Everybody say a mud hut with Jesus. They're so much more happier than a covetous American saints. Because they have their rice in the morning. And they have their Jesus all day. And they're extraordinarily thankful and give Him praise. Pastor in Nigeria getting on a Schwinn that was sent to him by a missionary organization so he could ride 5 miles to a place he preaches. And that national missionary gets on that Schwinn on Sunday morning. The time he rides 5 miles to preach, he sweated through his white shirt, but it doesn't matter. Beads of sweater on his head, but there's joy in his heart. He parks that Schwinn and says, look what the Lord has done. I am so grateful. Hallelujah. I used to have to walk all this way. Took a lot of my time and energy. But now I can ride this new Schwinn. Hallelujah. Somebody coming to church in a nice automobile with air conditioning blowing on our face. Amen. Looking out the window at an Escalade saying, wow. If I only had that. Amen. No, you don't have to have an Escalade to be. Amen. A lot of people, listen, folks, if they're not getting it for a status symbol, what on earth do they need it for? Amen. We ought to be traveling light just now. Jesus is coming soon. The world needs to hear the gospel. We don't need to get more entangled with this thing. We need to get set free from it. I believe there's a financial blessing for you and me today for this reason, because God actually wants to help us get unentangled so we can devote more of our time and energy to the work of the kingdom of God. If you believe that and would receive that, say amen this morning. Amen. Get back to the axe head. Alas, Lord, for it was borrowed. And you've got to know the setting. The only people who had the technology for iron was the Philistines. This covenant man was going to have to go and serve a Philistine. Huh? That's bondage to the world now. The world now controls. Come on, the ungodly controls the covenant person. And the reason God will work the supernatural to get us untangled, if it's really for His kingdom and not for our convenience. I have needed some untangling before. Wave at me if you ever need it. I'm not asking if you need it now. I know you do. But anyway, moving right along. If you ever needed it in the past too. I used to go fishing with my granddaddy. We didn't have a close relationship. He was a hard man, but he loved to fish. And I could say, would you take me fishing? And sometimes he would take me. He took me about 2 times. And we got out in a wooden boat. It was a heavy sucker. Amen. But we got out in a wooden boat. And he said, you know, we want to cast right out here. And in the boat, we could cast about anywhere and catch some trout, some whiting, flounder, depending on what we fish. But from the bridge or the bank, you had to cast way out. And I had a real problem. Those reels back then, they just, you know, you had to break them with your thumb because they get spinning so fast when you take those and hurl it out with those, weights on it. You would hurl it out, and boy, that thing would go spinning like that. And when it hit the water, suddenly it stopped going out. When it stopped going out, it just keeps spinning. And as it spun, all of the threads would go up like, we call it a backlash. And it'd be so tangled up. I would get over and my granddad look at me like he could just kill me. Because he knew the next thing I was going to say was, amen. And he would have to come over there and try to untangle the mess that I made. Come on, the mess that I made. Because he would tell me time and time again, put your thumb on it, put your thumb on it, put your thumb on it. Break it, break it. As soon as it stops, you put your thumb on it. Now, there are more sophisticated reels that are, you know, anti-backlash. But boy, back then, you could mess it up. He had to take a knife sometime, put his pole down, quit fishing altogether, and start cutting it and cutting it and cutting it until he cut all that stuff off. That's why he only took me twice. That's right. He said, I ain't taking him no more. Amen. His patience run out with me. I'm glad God is long-suffering. Can you say amen? I'm glad one of his virtues is patient, because God has come to cut my backlashes before. Amen. And get me back, amen, where I needed to be. And I love him for that. I appreciate it. But I had to get down to business with him. I had to let him know I made the mess. Amen. Bless this mess is not in your Bible. I want you to know that. God will help you with the mess, but he won't bless the mess. But he'll help you get the mess straightened out. And if you are ready today to start straightening out some messes, amen, that covetousness has made in your life, or selfishness has made in your life, or the flesh has made in your life, God is ready to cut that mess. Can you say amen? Put it back together and get you back on target again. God is ready to arise, hallelujah, so that his enemies might be scattered. Somebody give God praise in this room. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And it was such a joy when he had that put back together for me. And I could take it and keep my thumb on it. And we could fish together. And it's such a joy when Jesus comes and says, I want to get you freed up. So down in that deep water lay an iron axe head that flew off the handle. You know how that's like. We've all flew off the handle. Alas, Lord, for it was borrowed. I am now faced with being bond slave to a Philistine. God heard that cry to be free from a bond slave, not just cause that man's convenience. There was more at stake here. There was the freedom of his people. Be not unequally yoked. Come on. That's what was at stake here. Don't be bound to the world in any sense. Wow. And I believe that's why God wants to bless us, to help us get untangled and to keep us from entanglements that pull us away from his work, his kingdom. Can you say amen? I believe he wants you to have time to pray more than he wants you to have something that you think you can't do without. It's the prayer you can't do without. Amen. Newsflash. It's more important to God, and it's more important to you, and it's more important to me. He would rather have you spend time in his word and in his house. Amen. Where your faith can get built up, where you can be encouraged, where you can be exhorted. Can you say, man, there are people that won't miss work. If they got a splitting headache, they're going to be at work. I owe. It's off to work I go. But they can't find the energy nor the time to come to church. Any little thing throws them back. They don't see the value of the kingdom. They don't see the value of the kingdom. It's not a pearl of great price. It's not a treasure hid in a field. Can you say, man, it's a byproduct of our religion. It just sits on the sidelines in the peripheral in a tangent area of our life. It should be the supreme part of our life. Glory be to God, an occasion to come together and worship the God who gave his Son and honor the Son who gave his life on the cross. I wouldn't miss this for anything. Somebody give God praise in this place. Hallelujah. But then I want my body healed, and I want to be delivered from the entanglements, and I want the peace that passes understanding, and I want that joy unspeakable that's so full of his glory. Can you say amen? I want that. I want it. I want the unshakable faith, the uninterrupted peace. I am ready. to work the supernatural to get you free. If you have it in your heart to stay free, saith the Spirit of God. Somebody give Him praise in this room. No point in God doing it if we're going to turn right around and go back. The Bible said, and the axe head. Everybody do like this. An iron axe head became fluid and flexible.
Yeah.
Woo! And like a fish in a stream, an iron axe head did swim from the bottom to the surface and from the surface to the shore and then became an iron axe head again. This wasn't special effects out of some, amen, super production CGI movie. This was God Almighty saying, before I have you serve a Philistine, I will break this yoke of bondage. I will have the axe head swim back to you. Somebody give God praise in this room. Let God arise. Let God arise. And His people go free. Let God arise and His enemies be scattered. Let God arise and His covenant people know victory again over the world, the flesh, and the devil. Somebody give God praise in this room. Hallelujah. 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 I have been in financial entanglements until it began to take my thought life, my energy, tax my time. And I had to go to God, number one, ask forgiveness for getting so entangled. It began with repentance, not just confessing something that was on my refrigerator door. It's easier to confess something you pasted on your refrigerator door than it is to repent of what got you tangled up. Deliverance starts with repentance, not confession of a promised scripture. That has nothing to do with getting rid of your pride, confessing your sin, or repenting of it. Can you say amen? It's easier to confess something. Anything but your sin. Hello? You go down to Ai with Joshua, you've conquered every city there is. I don't care if it's big or little, it doesn't matter to God. He says, I'm going to give you the land. Nobody can stand against you because why? God is for you. But He says, don't take any of the spoil. You're not doing this for personal profit. I'll bless you. You're not going to get it from pillaging like a bunch of pirates. Can you say, man, that's not how you're going to get it. I'm going to bless your crops. I'm going to bless you legitimately. You're not a bunch of pirates I'm sending over to rape and pillage and all that kind of stuff. You're there to be a holy people separate unto me and to let me set you in contrast to that world. You don't get it by grasping. You get it by bowing. Can you say, man, hallelujah. So you don't take any of that spoil. But there was a guy saying, what a waste. What a waste. And he took some of the spoil and he took it home and he put it under a rug. Amen, and he hid it, and he's got it now. And now they're ready to go up on the least of the cities, the most undefended city there are. The name is even minuscule. You want to know the name of the city? Ai. That's the name of the city. Amen, and Joshua said, we don't need the whole army to go take this city. Amen, just take a troop over there and take the city. Amen, and they went over and they come back. They had lost a lot of people in battle. There were a lot of people wounded and bleeding. Looks like part of the Christian church today that's bought into something that doesn't involve repentance, where God is not truly for us. And we don't find it out until we engage the enemy in hand-to-hand combat. Can you say, man, marriages that can't stand the pressure when we're hand-to-hand combat with the devil. We got faith for huge homes, but we can't keep a marriage together. There's something wrong with having stone and mortar and not having the important things. Can you say, man? There's something terrible about that. When do you understand what I'm telling you? If the devil can divide me and my wife, what good is a Cadillac sitting out here? What good can you say, man, if the devil has that kind of authority and we don't have that kind of resources in Christ? If that's going to be the new norm for Christianity, then you can't ever have confidence in a relationship. Because the devil can and will destroy it. And having God won't make a difference. Honey, having God is supposed to make a difference. Especially when it's in His will. God will defend this marriage. If I don't break my vow, she don't break her vow, there's nothing the devil can do. Somebody has to break a vow because the devil's not bigger than my God. Amen. Somebody give God praise and say, he's just not bigger than my God. We need to get it back. Because if you marry a Christian man and God can't arise in behalf of the two of you, there's no guarantee that it's going to last any longer than what they said in the New Yorker magazine. Unless God can arise. If you get cancer and it's incurable and inoperable, unless God can arise again in the Church of Jesus Christ, you're in no better condition than anybody else in this world. And having God won't make a difference unless God arises in your behalf. We need to get in a position where He can arise. Can you say amen? I want to read this quickly. We may read it again tonight. And this is the last thing I'm going to say, but I want it back. Why can't we have in our churches today what happened in those tents? And why did it have to happen in the tents? The same reason. Amen. Because we were satisfied with Laodicea's riches. We had the big churches and the big preachers and the big singers and the big everything, but we didn't have the big God we used to have. Can you say amen? There's times when only a big God can suffice. There's times when we need a big God to come through. There's times when we need God to manifest Himself. We've heard the preacher. We've seen the big edifice that has been built. Amen. We've heard the singers. Now we need God to do something personal in our life. Can you say amen? Hallelujah! When He brought them out of captivity, it meant that they had served their time. They had come to a place of brokenness and repentance. And now He was going to receive them and stand up for them. God was literally going to arise in their behalf. And I want to read this right out of the book of Jeremiah. Or Isaiah rather, 51, 11 through 16. Listen to it carefully. We're going to paraphrase verse 13 and then we're going to have some praise. Listen to this. Therefore, the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their head. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. Everybody say, draw near to God, and He'll draw. They wasn't just coming back to Zion. They were coming back to God. That's why they were coming back to Zion. And then He says, I am He that comforteth you. Who art thou should be afraid of a man that shall die, and the son of man which shall be made as grass? And forgettest the Lord thy Maker, that hast stretched forth the heavens and laid the foundations of the earth, and hast feared continually every day because of the fury of the oppressor, as if He were ready to destroy. And where is the fury of the oppressor? God said, when I stand up for you again, there's nobody that can do you harm without getting past me. So I don't want you to ever fear again. Somebody give Him praise. Verse 14 says, the captive exile hasteneth that he may be loosed, and that he should not die in the pit, nor that his bread should fail. But I am the Lord thy God that divideth the sea, whose waves roared. The Lord of hosts is His name. And I put my words in thy mouth, and I've covered thee in the shadow of mine hand, that I may plant the heavens and lay the foundations of the earth, and say unto Zion, thou art my people. It's supposed to make a difference when God arises. Everybody say it's supposed to make a difference. I love the paraphrase of verse 13. Will you remain in constant dread of human oppressors? Will you continue to fear the anger of your enemies? Where is their fury and anger now? It's a rhetorical question, so the paraphrase answers it. It is gone. If God be for you, that's the question. So the problem is this morning, not is who's against you, what circumstance you're in. The ultimate question is, can God legitimately be for you? When you stand, pray, and forgive. If you don't forgive others, God will not forgive you. He can't stand up if you don't deal with these issues of the heart. That breastplate is so vital to your victory. It's not just to stop an arrow without, but something in your heart. This is for something inward. Come on, this is spiritual armor. This is something that guards the heart. Is there selfish motive, covetousness, which is idolatry? You have not because you ask not. There's the faith issue. It goes beyond faith. You ask and receive not because you ask to consume it on yourself. The actual Greek says to consume it on your own lust. Are you trying to use faith just for that that's convenient for you? Just for self-gratification? Are you using your faith to stand in the gap for the lost, the damned, and the dying? Are you using your faith to trust God that others will come to know Him? Are you using your faith to pray for kings and those that are in authority? Do you ever use your faith to pray for the peace of Jerusalem? Amen. Amen. Are you listening to me? Do you use it for something that is unselfish, that is selfless? The Bible said if you're not praying a selfless prayer, you're not going to get an answer. You ask and receive not. Because you ask amiss to consume it on what? Me. Take you no thought for your life. It helps you keep your prayer life where it needs to be and what you shall eat, drink, or wherewith you be. Your Father knows what you have need of. But what do you put first? The kingdom and His righteousness. And these things shall be added to you. All your needs your Father knows about. He will meet those needs. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. He's not going to let you do without. But He wants your heart set on things above and not things beneath. Amen? Would you stand to your feet today? I've seen such shipwreck and failure, entanglement, defeat, deceit in the Christian community that it hurts to watch the enemy hurt God's people. It hurts to see Christians become lukewarm, to adopt values that mirror the world instead of the kingdom. How are you supposed to pray in the pattern prayer? It's really our prayer. We call it the Lord's Prayer. They said, Lord, teach us to pray. So it's really our prayer, isn't it? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Everybody say the kingdom is next. Not your need. The kingdom is next, not your personal petition. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Everybody say again, the kingdom is next. Before my personal petition. Before believing, you start bowing. Can you say amen? Bow in worship, bow in submission to His will and His lordship. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That deserves a bow. Thy kingdom come. Listen to this. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And then you start talking about your needs. Give us this day our daily bread, but not until His kingdom is put first. Amen. Kingdom first is the biblical priority. And I challenge all of us in this room today that have got all these entanglements to begin to say, your kingdom come, your will be done, so that God can arise in your behalf and in my behalf. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I stand ready. For my name is glorified when my people walk in freedom and victory. My name is exalted when my people know the liberty and the freedom that my spirit comes to bring. The miracles, the wonders, The supernatural interventions are mine to give, and I am ready to give them. Make yourself ready to receive them, saith the Spirit of God. And if you cannot receive from your God, to whom will you turn in the day of trouble? Just how far into the world are we going to go for answers? How deep are we going to delve into the self-help, self-exalting doctrines? Before we realize without God, we're hopelessly lost. God wants the redeemed to come back to Zion. Hallelujah. With joy and gladness, peace and victory, power and confidence, and to live our life as the people of the Lord again. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. If you have to go, we realize there are schedules. I have one this afternoon, a very tight schedule. But we will be here tonight. I hope we can pursue this. I hope God's people want true revival in the 21st century. Can you say amen? Because it involves our children saved, our bodies healed, our finances untangled. Hallelujah. So that we can give more time and more energy to that God has called us. How many know God will bless us for that reason? That's kingdom stuff. That's top shelf with God. Would you go ahead and number one, let's worship Him. We serve a great God today. Can you say amen? Are you ready to give Him some praise? Are you glad you came this morning? Did you learn something about the ways of God? The way to be blessed today. Bring that right up. If you have to go, you may. We thank you for coming. We know other people have schedules and issues. But let's give Him some praise before we leave His presence today.
Changing, mysterious and unknown. Your boundless love, unfailing grace and mercy shown. Bright seraphim in ceaseless flight.
Untangled? Are you positioned to receive the supernatural? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you ready for His name to be exalted in your life? Hallelujah.